message today is a continuation of a message that I started 2 weeks ago entitled, What is the Answer to Man's Greatest Problem? Now, if you need to be reminded what man's greatest problem is, then please go back and read Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through Romans chapter 3, verse 20. I don't want to make light of anybody's problems. I'm sure there are serious problems, but most of our problems are temporal problems. And we're talking about an eternal problem. Romans 1:18 through 3:20 is full of sin and wrath and fury and condemnation and judgment. Those chapters teach us that we are all under sin. We are under the dominion of sin. We are under sin's presence. We are under sin's power. We are under sin's penalty. And we are under sin's punishment. We are waiting for a day when God's full, unmitigated wrath will be poured out upon our sin on a day of judgment that has been appointed by God. Each one of us has our own sin to answer for, and that is our greatest problem. We are under the grip of sin, and we cannot extricate ourselves from it. The problem is that God is absolutely righteous, and we are unrighteous by nature. What we lack is righteousness. So how can we get the righteousness that we so desperately need? The answer is justification by faith. And this passage that I have read to you this morning is the preeminent passage on justification by faith. This is the magnum opus of passages on justification by faith. Now the term justified by faith is found in verse 28. And as I said, this whole passage is about justification by faith. So what is justification by faith? I'd like for us just to move right through each verse in this passage and see what it says about justification by faith. The first point is that justification by faith is the righteousness of God manifested apart from the law. Verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. What that means is that God's righteousness is manifested in us apart from our keeping the demands of the law. We do not earn God's righteousness by keeping the commandments of the law. There is nothing that we contribute to obtain God's righteousness, but it is manifested to us apart from the law. It is granted to us apart from the law. If you will skip down to verse 28, you'll see that teaching reinforced and clarified there as clearly as it can be stated. Verse 28 says, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. That word justified there means to be declared righteous. God declares us righteous without our doing the works of the law. As a matter of fact, God declares us righteous even though we are unrighteous by nature. There's an additional comment about this in verse 27. Just to make sure we understand, this righteousness of God is obtained without us working for it. Verse 27 says, where is boasting? It is excluded. If we had anything at all to do with earning this righteousness of God by our works, then we could boast about it. But it says all boasting is excluded. The righteousness that we so desperately need is granted to us by God, and it is His righteousness. The rest of this passage is going to elaborate upon that and to help us to understand how He does that. Point one is that justification by faith is the righteousness of God granted to us without us doing any works of the law. Point number two is justification by faith is the righteousness of God witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it." This verse is telling us that justification by faith is not a new teaching. This is not something that the Apostle Paul conjured up in the first century. It was already taught in the law and the prophets. This New Testament teaching is consistent with and confirmed by the Old Testament. There's an additional comment about this in verse 31. Verse 31 says, "Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law." There is no conflict between the Old Testament and the New Testament regarding this teaching on justification by faith. There was not one way to be saved in the Old Testament period and another way to be saved in the New Testament period. It has always been the same way. It has always been justification by faith. The third point is, justification by faith is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Verse 22 says, "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction." That verse says something about the means of justification, and it says something about the scope of justification. The righteousness of God is acquired by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is the instrument. And Jesus Christ is the object. Jesus Christ is the real Savior. And faith is simply the means by which we acquire the righteousness of God that saves us through Him. I explained before in that other message when I started this passage of Scripture that saving faith involves the mind, it involves the heart, and it involves the will. Saving faith involves knowing Jesus Christ with our minds. It involves loving Jesus Christ with our hearts, and it involves obeying Jesus Christ with our wills. Then there is the scope of the righteousness of God that saves us. It is to all who believe. There is an inclusiveness and an exclusiveness in that. There is a universality and a limitation in that. There is a generality and a specificity in that. Justification by faith. The righteousness of God that we so desperately need is offered to all without exception, but it is only acquired by those who believe. There is an additional comment about this down in verse 29 and 30. God is not the God of the Jews only. He is the God of the Gentiles also. And God will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. There is hope for all mankind. This is a universal offer to have the righteousness of God by faith. It is for whoever will receive it by faith. That puts a responsibility upon us to make sure that everybody hears the message. And it puts the responsibility on those who hear the message to respond to it in faith, to apprehend the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, because it is for all who believe. The fourth point in this passage is that justification by faith is a free gift of God's grace. Verse 23 and 24 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift." Justified by His grace as a gift. In verse 24, there is that word justified, and we need to understand what it means. That word justified means declared righteous. It does not mean to be made righteous. Paul uses the term justification in a legal sense, and it means to be declared righteous even though we are unrighteous. We are made right with God by justification, but we are not made righteous. We are declared righteous based upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. It is not our righteousness. It is God's righteousness imputed to us. We remain unrighteous by nature, but we are treated as righteous because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is credited to our account. He is righteous. We are not righteous. We are declared righteous because of Him. That is justification. That is also a free gift of God's grace. The fact that it is a gift of God's grace means that you and I don't pay anything for it. This word gift is used in Matthew chapter 10, verse 18, where it says, "You receive without paying, give without paying." That's a gift. This word for gift is used in Revelation 21, 6, where it says, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment.'" Then the word gift is used in Revelation 22, 17, where it says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price." It is free. It is a free gift. It is something that we don't pay for. The idea of a gift of God's grace is that it is obtained without payment, without any human merit whatsoever. And so we are saved freely by grace. And grace is undeserved love granted to the guilty. Well, the fifth point in this passage is that justification by faith is a costly gift of God's grace. Verse 24 and 25 says, "We are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith." We just said that justification by faith is a free gift of God's grace, that it doesn't cost us anything, but the fact that it doesn't cost us anything does not mean that it's not costly. Justification by faith is extremely costly. And the one who paid the cost is Jesus Christ. There are two words in verses 24 and 25 that refer to the cost of justification by faith. And the first one is that word redemption. Redemption is a word that is used for buying a slave out of the slave market. A price would be put on that slave, and someone could come along and pay the price and redeem that slave and set him free if he wanted to. In the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus, there are directions for redeeming lost property, and there are directions for redeeming people who have fallen into slavery. If a man lost his farm, his brother or a near kinsman could go and pay a redemption price and buy that farm back for his brother or for his kinsman. If a man became poor and sold himself into slavery as a last resort, he could be redeemed out of slavery. There was a redemption price set, and a near kinsman could come and pay the price and buy the man out of slavery. That is redemption, and that is what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has paid the enormous, extravagant price of our redemption. He has purchased us out of the slave market of sin that we have sold ourselves into. Justification is free to us, but very costly to God. Justification is only made possible through an enormous expense, through a costly purchase. It is extended to us as a gift by grace, but it is purchased for us through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has paid the purchase price for us. Jesus Christ has paid by His life and by His blood, by His bearing the penalty of sin, a purchase price to redeem us from bondage to sin. All of the redemptive price of our sin for our falling short of the glory of God is paid for by the death of Jesus Christ. Because of who He is, the eternal Son of God, His death was worth enough to pay the price of redemption for all of us. In redemption, Jesus buys us back out from under the bondage to sin unto which we have sold ourselves. And He does it by paying the price Himself. Then there's this word propitiation. And propitiation is a is a sacrifice that appeases the wrath of God. In these first three chapters of Romans, we are told that we are under the wrath of God. Now, in a restricted way, and that there is an appointed time in the future when the unmitigated wrath of God will be poured out on all sinners. But here is propitiation. And in propitiation, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His sacrifice on the cross, appeases the wrath of God. He satisfies the wrath of God so that the sins of all of us who believe in Jesus Christ are atoned for. We can therefore stand before God knowing that God's wrath has been poured out to the full on Jesus Christ. He visits the penalty and the condemnation of that sin on the person of Jesus Christ, so that that penalty and condemnation has been swallowed up in Jesus Christ. It doesn't exist to condemn us anymore. Well, the last point in this passage is that justification by faith is the way that God is able to be just and the justifier at the same time of sinners. Verse 26 says, "It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Verse 26 tells us that there is a big question answered by justification by faith. The question is, how can God be just and at the same time be the justifier of sinners? You see, God can't just sweep our sins under the rug and let us go free. His holiness will not allow Him to just pronounce us forgiven without punishing our sins. Our sins have to be paid for. The punishment of our sins has to be carried out somehow. For God to just simply pronounce us forgiven without paying for our sins would be to violate His own holiness. It would violate God's justice. In order for God to be just in justifying sinners, their sins have to be paid for. Justification by faith through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ enables God to be both just and the justifier of sinners who believe in Jesus. Justification by faith is the perfect solution to our predicament because it allows God to justify us without violating His own justice. Justification by faith allows God to maintain His righteousness and declare us righteous at the same time. Christ had to die in order to make satisfaction to God for our sins so that God could justify us and maintain His own righteousness in doing so. What is justification by faith? Justification by faith is all of this. It is the righteousness of God manifested without the law. It is the righteousness of God witnessed to by the law and the prophets. It is the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. It is the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ to all who will believe. It is the righteousness of God by grace, by free gift of God's grace. It is the righteousness of God through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And it is the righteousness of God declared so that He can be both just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. What does justification mean to you and me? Well, it means that we can be saved from the dominion of sin. It means that we can be rescued from sin's penalty. It means that we can be rescued from sin's punishment. It means that we can be saved from the wrath of God. And we can have that by faith in Jesus Christ. So I invite you to believe in Jesus and have this righteousness of God by faith rather than the condemnation that we deserve. Amen. And with that, we'll sing our final hymn of the day. And it is hymn number 674. We're going to sing the